We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who renew and refresh the surface of this earth each and every day, so also renew and refresh our heart of hearts through the watering of your word. Bless us and strengthen us. Revive our hearts once again, dear Lord, and reform our ways that we might be pleasing to you and be a blessing to those around us. Through the power of your holy word, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We turn our attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, as served as our third scripture lesson. It's interesting, Jesus sends out his disciples early in his ministry ahead of him. He says, go into the highways and byways, go in the cities of Israel and declare to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. God is so close with all of his blessings. But then he turns around and tells them, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Ouch. He goes, proclaim to the people of Israel, the Messiah is finally here. The Messiah you've longed for and waited for thousands of years, he is now here to redeem Israel. Oh, but by the way, they will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings. Brothers will betray brothers to death and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. Wow, I wonder if that took a little wind out of their sails. Such wonderful good news. Why wouldn't people be celebrating? Why wouldn't they throw parties for them instead of throw stones at them? And yet that is this wicked world's response to God's glorious gospel. He sends a Savior and this unbelieving world wants nothing to do with him. All but one of the apostles suffered the death of a martyr. That's how Jesus' words came true in their lives. The book of Hebrews records how believers throughout all of time have suffered because of Christ. Some faced jeers and flogging while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. That's the lot in life for God's vocal Christians. Scripture set Martin Luther free. He was so chained by his false thoughts, enslaved by his guilt and the fear of hell, and finding no escape from it, he was certain that he would be fuel for the fires. But then he discovered on the pages of Scripture that salvation isn't something that's earned by good works. It's a free gift of God, totally by his grace, his undeserved love. And that comes only by faith, which the Holy Spirit gives us through his word, not by our works or striving or earning. And the only place you find that wonderful, sweet message of God's salvation is in Scripture alone, not in men and their imaginations. How that set Luther free. Now he understood the forgiveness won on the cross of Jesus. At first, Luther was somewhat naive. He thought the whole Catholic Church would just be enamored by this truth. Oh, they'd love to be reformed and have all their errors straightened out by the clear declaration of Scripture. It didn't quite work that way. No, the church leaders wanted to bring him before the emperor, insisting on his death. They didn't rejoice over his new ideas that he had found in Scripture. They hated him because he told them the truth about Jesus and their only salvation. Those are tough times for Martin Luther. Jesus sends you and me out also, just like the apostles, just like Luther, so us. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Oh, and by the way, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves? That doesn't sound good. See, the people of this day and age knew what that picture was all about. You take a sheep and put it in a wolf's den, and the conclusion's pretty obvious. Okay? When wolves have dinner with sheep, mutton is on the menu. Wolves don't make supper for sheep, they make supper of sheep. They only have one goal in mind: to destroy, to eat, to kill. And so now Jesus picks up on that picture and says, oh, by the way, as you're going out, just so you recognize, just so you're not naive, just so you don't think the whole world is going to applaud you and everything you have to say, you're going to be the sheep and I'm sending you out to a pack of wolves. You can pretty much expect to get beat up. If that's what they've done to the master, what will they do to his disciples? But it's so easy for us to just say, well, that's not today, huh? We're more enlightened. People are kinder and gentler in our day and age, right? They wouldn't begin to be wolves and be nasty and snarling to the gospel message. Really? That's not exactly how Jesus paints the end of time. He says, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, and he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Has that gospel been preached to all nations? Does it not blanket the globe? Are there not false prophets hither and yon around every tree? Has not the love of most grown cold because these are such wicked times? Who dare open their hearts to somebody else? The end is near. All the more reason for the gospel to be proclaimed. But sheep among wolves? That doesn't sound good. And so Jesus warns them. He says, be as shrewd as snake and as innocent as doves. Well, it's an interesting picture, but what does it mean? Shrewd as snakes. Notice, snakes aren't like chickens with their heads cut off. They certainly aren't like dogs chasing their own tails. Whether we like snakes or don't like snakes, they're very crafty, huh? They're focused. They're purposed. They are serious about why they can even taste when danger is nearby. And they slither away. And so Jesus is calling for us to be shrewd, to be wise, not to be naive and dumb about it. We're not in a friendly world. We're in a world of wolves. This is a sinful world. And our ministry that he gives us is a dangerous ministry, not one for cowards and weaklings. And so he's calling them to find their strength in him, but also to be innocent as doves. Oh, as you go out, disciples, they will say all kinds of false things about you. They'll slander you and malign your character and that, but be so innocent that any fair-minded person watching says, these are just trumped-up charges. These people have done nothing wrong. Well, sometimes, however, as we want to be shrewd in these day and age, we might come to the conclusion, the best thing for us to do is just to lie quiet, be in hiding, keep our Christianity in the closet. After all, isn't that pretty shrewd of us? Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Wow! We're in trouble no matter what we do. We don't want to be ashamed of Jesus and incur his wrath, but we don't want to be eaten by the wolves either. And all of a sudden, there's a terror. What are we to do? Luther kind of felt that terror. Luther wrote a lot, and he preached a lot as long as he was in the safe quarters of Wittenberg. But then the church officials hauled him before the emperor of the land. The church officials demanded that he was a heretic, and that he either renounce, recant his writings, or he should die. And there was Luther. And he was scared. Remember what he did that first day? He asked for a day to think about it. Think about it? You've been writing for years. What is to think about? But they granted him a day, and that night was terrible on him. He was tormented and in anguish. What is he going to do? And the thought that tormented him the most was, how can it be that I am right and everyone else is wrong? Certainly doesn't that speak how I'm the one who's wrong when they're so adamantly against me and hate me so? And he was tormented all night long. But once again, Scripture set him free, renewed his thinking, reformed his heart, and he realized, how can Scripture be anything but right? And the person who stands squarely on the truths of Scripture is always right, no matter if the whole world condemns them. Much like Noah and the Ark. And the more he stopped looking at himself and the more he looked at Scripture and what Scripture had revealed to him, the more all his fear went away and his confusion and even his concern for what would happen to his life. He says it's like that smoke in the air that just kind of dissipates and it's gone. Once again, he was reformed on the inside, refreshed and renewed from Scripture. And then he marched into that court, that diet of worms, and they put the question to him again, thinking, he'll certainly crumble now. Look at all of us against him. And he says, here I stand. My heart is convicted by the word of God. I can do no other. God help me. And at that moment, Luther probably thought, this is my doom. They're going to kill me right here. Everything will be destroyed. And yet God used his word to break the back of that darkness, that evil reign of false teaching, to let the gospel light spread throughout the land and drip into every nation from then on. God was at work here in these fearful moments, as God's brave man put his stake in the ground and stood on the clear word of God. What could the emperor do? Kill him? All he'd end up doing is going home to heaven. But if he were to renounce his Lord and crumble under the weight of this world, then he would lose his heaven and spend eternity in hell. What can man do to me? And all of a sudden, Luther understood what this meant, that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And that's where he wrote the words, a mighty fortress is our God. But what are we to do in these end times when our knees are knocking and our voice seems faint? And we so don't want to be ashamed of our Savior, but we don't want to be eaten by the wolves either. What are we to do? Go back to the very Scriptures that create reform, refreshing, renewal in our hearts and lives. What do those scriptures testify? It lays forth a marvelous miracle that the very Son of God came down to be the Lamb of God. He came down to this world of wolves specifically to be torn apart by them. He came down to die and suffer their hatred and their cruelty and the punishment of his heavenly Father, also that he could rise in victory and truly be a meal of salvation for all the wolves. You see, the remarkable miracle of in Scripture is that all of us by nature are wolves, enemies of God, dead in our transgressions and sins. And it's only through him feeding us the Lamb of God that we are transformed, recreated into the sheep of his pasture. And notice how he talks about actually eating the Lamb of God. Jesus writes, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Why would we put ourselves in danger, step into the middle of a wolf's den, to give them the Lamb of Life to feast upon? Oh, they may want to torture and tear us apart limb to limb, but we have a holier purpose, not to beat them down, but to feed them the Lamb of God that will truly reform, transform, and bring them alive. God has a holy meal for them to banquet on the Lamb of God, that they might have everlasting life as you and I have. God still has wolves out there that he is going to create sheep for his pasture. And who does he use to bring that precious word to him? Not the angels on high. No, they stand back and watch. He used the former wolves, we who were once wolves, but now are the sheep of his pasture, who have tasted the Lord of life and see how truly good he is. And if he has come and ransomed and rescued us, if he has protected the apostles on their way, if he has blessed Martin Luther, does he not have as much strength today? Is he not also our strength and stay? Do we just sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," or do we truly believe it? Yeah, everything seems so perilous to our eyes, but not to God's. He knows exactly what he wants to do in us, with us, through us, to reform our hearts, first of all, that we repent of our self-serving attitude. It's all about me just preserving my life, my way. It's all about me having my pleasures in life. Don't ask me to sacrifice for the Lord of glory. What's sin? But rather, he refreshes us and renews us once again in his forgiveness, that we say, "Lord, use me. Use me in whatever way, whether that means I die a martyr's death or whatever." And then he brings through us that precious message again, that in Christ there is salvation. Jesus is that Lamb of God who was crucified by the wolves, but now is the Savior of the wolves. And he comes to you and me. God is protecting us. He says, "Do not worry about what you say or how you say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." He doesn't send us into the wolves and abandon us to them. No, he goes with us to protect and preserve and to bless our message and to accomplish his holy will. Not one hair on our head will fall without him giving permission. So well are we protected. And so what are we to fear? Our Lord is by our side. The message is the same. Whether we're talking about Noah or the apostles or Luther or us in these end times, the message is still the same. There is a Savior from sin. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the only one. There is not others. And it's only through faith in Him, not through our good works that gain some merit, but totally by His grace, the faith He gives us. And this is a Savior found in Scripture alone. Rejoice. Be reformed and refreshed as you turn to the pages of Scripture. For he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Time and time again, do not be fearful of the wolves. Rejoice in the Savior and in the power he brings you. How many of us are willing to say, "Here am I, send me, send me"? Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, our times are in your hands. You are the one who has called us out of darkness. You are the one who has fed us with the gift of everlasting life. So now strengthen us, dear Lord. Turn our hearts and minds toward you and your holy will. Bless us and put your words into our mouths that we might bear witness in these dark and dreadful days, that your gospel light might still shine brightly in the darkness of unbelief. Bless us and equip us now and forever for your good work. Amen.